We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They understand it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Happy Friday to you. It's a Target Demo Friday, which means we want to hear what you're doing as you listen to the show. Target Demo Friday, each and every Friday. Hit us up on Twitter or on Facebook and let us know where you're at, how you're listening, and what you're doing. And I'll read through those coming up at the end of the show. That's Twitter, DA on CBS as the handle. That is Facebook.com/TheDAShow.
Google, Yahoo, Facebook, Twitter.
Coming up this hour, we are stunned to a news. And your best audio of the day. That includes Andy Reid with some interesting perspective on the pressure on him, quote-unquote, going into Super Bowl 54, where we will be down on Radio Row in Miami next week. So tune in next week for hopefully some pretty awesome interviews and guests. I know that a lot of Radio Row can sound the same. I don't think ours do. I don't think our interviews do. I think we do have a different way of approaching Radio Row, and I really love it, and I think, I hope at least, that it bleeds through on the radio. I really love it because I really love the history of the Super Bowl and the cultural touchstone that is the Super Bowl, and so guys that have played in it or are important pieces in the history of the NFL are always a really cool, really fun chat for me. But also, we have a lot of fun. There's a lot of laughs that come with it. So I think you'll enjoy it if this is your first Radio Row with us, because we have recently switched to the mornings in 2020 earlier this month. Going into Super Bowl 54, obviously, a lot of attention on the brilliance of Patrick Mahomes, and rightfully so. Focus on just how explosive he is, how great he was in the two playoff games this year. How great he has been in his four postseason games, winning three of them and losing only in overtime last year to the Patriots, having never touched the football in OT. And also the fact that the Chiefs are going to have to pay that man his money coming up here either this offseason or next offseason.
It's about the money. M-O-N-E-Y-D-A.
And on the flip side, you have a heartthrob who clearly isn't the caliber of quarterback that Patrick Mahomes is. However, Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't been asked to do what Patrick Mahomes does. Now, I don't think Garoppolo could, although he has some really good college stats when he played in a big-time, up-tempo, high-scoring, high-flying offensive attack. He put up 50 touchdowns in a season. Under Dino Babers, now the head coach at Syracuse, he ended up putting up those air raid Baylor-esque numbers, Texas Tech-esque numbers. But because he threw so few passes in his two playoff games this year, there's a lot of question marks about whether Jimmy Garoppolo is being underrated, disrespected, or criticized, because what exactly can you glean from him throwing eight passes in a championship game win? Garoppolo said everyone has different ways to get motivated, and very similar to Richard Sherman, his teammate, I do the same thing. I hear all the stuff and everything, but you can't put all of that out there all of the time. You have to do with it what you will and take for it what it is. Just at the end of the day, you've got to go out there and play football. On the Jimmy Garoppolo front, I think Jimmy Garoppolo has a lot going for him. First of all, he was basically touched on the shoulder to be the heir apparent to Tom Brady. Bill Belichick, for 15 years, did not feel the need to push Tom Brady or find Tom Brady's replacement. For 15 years, it was good enough that Tom Brady was one of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history. For 15 years, Bill Belichick knew he didn't need anybody to come after Tom Brady. And then in 2014, not only did they draft a quarterback, because they had done that in the past, but they drafted him high in the second round. And that's something that the Patriots never have done, spending a wasted draft pick on a backup to Tom Brady in the first two rounds of the draft. They did so with Garoppolo. So Belichick knew that Brady was coming to the end, and this was his guy. Now, he's drafted mistakes before, so that's not a guarantee. But that was the first sense that Belichick saw something in Garoppolo that he had not seen in a quarterback in previous years. Number two, they were absolutely prepared to move on from Tom Brady had Brady not had the career renaissance at that point in time that he did. And it worked. Brady recommitted himself, drove himself to new heights, busted his tail, and was competitive, and probably froze Jimmy out at a couple of things, and was combative with management, and specifically Bill, because they had dared to bring in his replacement. And that drove Brady to those next two championships against the Falcons and at least getting back to a Super Bowl against the Eagles. And then also the one against the Seahawks as well. This was a late career push again from Tom Brady. They win that in 2014, Garoppolo's rookie season. By last year's Super Bowl, Garoppolo was already gone, but Brady had the second career. I mean, think about it. He won three Super Bowls early in his career, did not win another for 10 years. Garoppolo's drafted. He goes back to winning another three. Garoppolo was there to take his job, and he knew it. And that right there again is another feather in the cap of Garoppolo, that not only was he drafted high, but Belichick saw he could be our guy. He gets to San Francisco and immediately changes the culture there. They start winning, having been a loser. They immediately start winning once they trade for him. Immediately. And then he gets injured last year. They collapse to 4-12. He's healthy this year. They're in the Super Bowl. Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't needed to do a ton, but when he has needed to, he's been very good. Specifically in that game against the New Orleans Saints in what was one of the games of the year, 48-46, a Niners win, when Garoppolo threw 26-35 for 349 yards and four touchdowns against just one interception, his best game of the year. He also threw for 424 and four touchdowns against the Arizona Cardinals. He threw for 317 against the Cardinals as well. In the postseason, though, he hasn't had to do anything. 11 of 19 for .131 against the Vikings, 6 of 8 for 77 yards against the Packers. So, do I believe that Jimmy Garoppolo is a good quarterback? I do. Do I believe that there's something there based not only on what Belichick saw in him, but also his winning, and there's something to that and not needing the credit, but when he's needed to step up, he does? Absolutely. I believe in all of that. But I also believe that the criticism, if you want to call it that, of Jimmy Garoppolo in these two playoff games versus Patrick Mahomes is real. And I don't think it's a criticism, but how am I going to trust a guy to go toe for toe with Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs or in a Super Bowl if he's coming off throwing a total of 27 passes in two games in which the Niners had big leads in both? How could I possibly think Garoppolo versus Mahomes is a fair fight when Jimmy Garoppolo can hand off a billion times and throw eight passes to win an NFC championship game? Now, that's not the calculus, though, because it's not Garoppolo versus Mahomes. Mahomes might need to throw 35 passes, and Garoppolo might need to throw 15. But if this does get into an air-it-out game because the Niners can't run the football, or if it comes down to Jimmy Garoppolo needing to throw big passes and complete big passes and drive the length of the field on the strength of his arm, no, I don't trust him the same way I trust Philip or trust Patrick Mahomes. Why would I? I've seen Mahomes have to carry his team in four playoff games. I have not seen Jimmy Garoppolo have to do that when it mattered in January. And I also think that, you know, the Garoppolo, well, I'll take this as motivation. I mean, take what? That people don't know if they can trust him. I mean, I guess if you're calling Garoppolo a bum, yes, but he's not a bum. That's obvious. But I'm not sure where the motivation comes in. Oh, they think I can't do it because I only threw eight passes last week? Well, he only threw eight passes last week. Whereas you're higher on Jimmy G than even I am.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people now, the narrative because he threw those eight passes and he didn't need to do it against Minnesota either has become, he's kind of a better version of Trent Dilfer or Brad Johnson on these Super Bowl runs, and I think that's completely unfair. I think what you're seeing from Jimmy Garoppolo here is he might be more, and I know the stats won't tell you this, he might be more 07 Eli / 2013 Russell Wilson in that everybody will give those defenses credit, and they were primarily defensive teams, but it doesn't mean the quarterback didn't do the job, or it doesn't mean the quarterback can't do the job when it matters most. You brought up the Saint game. I mean, this is still a quarterback, and I know it's a passing league, that was 22 yards short of throwing for 4,000 yards this year. 27 TDs to 13 INTs. He has done it, and he did it in a ridiculously hard division. So, granted, the two playoff games, he hasn't lit the world on fire, but as you mentioned, they got off to big leads early, and it wasn't like he had to throw a ton and lead them in.
He didn't have to.
He didn't have to. So we're punishing him for that because his defense has been so good and he didn't have to. And that's unfair where at points this year, including winning at New Orleans, we pointed out, he proved if the team needs him to put them on the back, he can. The Niners are the ultimate team, and because of that, in public perception, Garoppolo is being punished ahead of this game.
Maybe. But I don't know if that punishment is unfair. I mean, it is what it is. The Niners are a really good football team. They're really good defensively. They run the football exquisitely. And so Garoppolo might not be great.
But I think the narrative really should be, wow, the Niners have won these playoff games in the passing league. Garoppolo hasn't had to do much, rather than the Niners have won, but how can you trust Garoppolo versus Patrick Mahomes? Look what he's done in the postseason.
But don't you think that that's a fair comp? I mean, we know Patrick Mahomes can put a team on his back. We don't know that about Jimmy Garoppolo in this sense.
Again, I would argue going into New Orleans is one of the toughest things you could do. That was a team that went 13-3, and they got through four touchdowns, one pick, in a pinball match, didn't back down versus that Saint offense.
It's a great win. It's a great performance. That Saints team also lost to Kirk Cousins at home.
All right, and I could throw you back and say, what did the Chiefs do? They beat Bill O'Brien and they beat Ryan Tannehill.
Fair, but I mean, don't you think we have a much bigger body of work of Mahomes' brilliance? I mean, he won the MVP last year.
If you're telling me,
and he nearly took out Belichick and the Patriots had he gotten the football in overtime.
Well, if you're asking me if I'm going to start a team today and I have one quarterback, Patrick Mahomes and Jimmy Garoppolo, of course I'm taking Patrick Mahomes. He's the best player in the sport. But if you're asking me in a Super Bowl head up, if this game gets played in the 30s, do I think Jimmy Garoppolo can hang and not have the Niners get their doors blown off if they need to count on him? Yes, I absolutely do believe that.
I think the Niners can absolutely win the Super Bowl. Absolutely. And I think that they can win the Super Bowl without Jimmy Garoppolo having to go crazy. Do I believe the Niners can win a game in which Garoppolo has to match Mahomes? No. No, I mean, if you're asking Garoppolo to make all of the plays that Mahomes could make in that type of game, I mean, game, set, match, Mahomes.
Right, but again, I think 29 other quarterbacks aren't making the plays that Mahomes is as well.
That's fair.
When I really think about this and I think about the quarterbacks aging out, we're seeing Eli Manning's retirement here coming up. Breeze is considering retirement. Rivers, who the heck knows what's going on with him? He's falling off a cliff. Roethlisberger hurt Brady. There's obviously a changing of the guard here. And we have really put at the top Patrick Mahomes, and he deserves to be so. Lamar Jackson off this year, and we all love Deshaun Watson. I think we can all agree in those three. Russell Wilson as well, obviously.
But he's 31.
But
now.
He's 31. Okay. I have no reason to believe off of what or not to believe off of what I've seen that Jimmy Garoppolo now in that group of quarterbacks will not be top six, top seven, and maybe kind of ironically like an Eli Manning in that where people want to punish him because he was in this great era of quarterbacks, but in reality, he was always right there, just maybe just out of the top five, and I think the 49ers will be just fine with that, and Garoppolo is going to win a lot of big games on his own without that defense.
Well, the best thing I can say about Jimmy Garoppolo is that he doesn't need to throw more than eight times in a game. He doesn't care. And that's
right.
Really cool. It's very refreshing that he does not need to be the guy because, you know, there's parts of Roethlisberger, certainly now, maybe not his rookie or second season when they won the Super Bowl, but certainly part of Rivers, certainly part of Aaron Rodgers, certainly part of Russell Wilson now, certainly part of Tom Brady, you know. If they throw eight times a game and win, I don't know if they're necessarily all that thrilled with that. I think that it needs to be on their shoulders.
I agree, and I think that's completely a credit to them. But I do think there is this spin out there as we head into Miami for the Super Bowl that the Niners would be here with C.J. Beathard and Nick Mullins, and I think that's so asinine.
No, that's true. That is absolutely true. Robert tweets, in D.A., if you were to come into a potential listener's home like a head coach coming after new recruits, what might that pitch sound like? Well, that's a really good question. It's an excellent question.
I like that.
I'm going to do that coming up here next. Here's my recruiting pitch to a listener coming up next. And we're also stunned to a news. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Mornings, Mothership.
D.A., good morning, Mraz, Bogish, and Bilotti. Love the new time spot. Since I'm finally on with you guys, can I get a beam up?
Yes, sir.
D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
This weekend, CBS's coverage of the PGA Tour season begins with a fantastic field, including Tiger, Rory, and Phil. They all head to Torrey Pines to compete at the Farmers Insurance Open. Coverage begins 3 Eastern, noon Pacific, on Saturday and Sunday. The PGA Tour is on CBS. It's a Target Demo Friday, boys and girls, so let us know where you are, how you're listening, and what you're doing. By tweeting at me, DA on CBS, you will see the Batman and Robin meme that Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of WatchDA.com, has put together since Mraz has declared himself my sidekick. In fact, demanded that I reference him as such. He says Bilotti's going to go to LinkedIn and change his profile to say audio director. Well, guess what? Mraz is definitely changing his profile to say sidekick. The DA Show, CBS Sports Radio. Also on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDA Show.
Yeah, get my timeline popping.
I love this question from Robert. D.A., if you were to come into a potential listener's home like a head coach coming into a recruit's home, just what might the pitch sound like? Okay, here's my 4 points. 4 points a line. Number one, we don't take ourselves too seriously. There is so much sports talk radio that is so self-important, as though the takes are so important to get right and to be so dominating with and to beat you over the head, bludgeon you with aggressive takes. And these people that are oftentimes very aggressive in what they say are really sensitive to criticism. I have made this a sensitive-free zone on the DA Show. Everything is open season. You cannot take yourself too seriously. So when I hear hosts say, challenge me, I'll look you in the eye, I'm never backing down, I'm never wrong, arr! I'm like, dude, you talk about sports for a living. this is not a bunch of tough guys here. All we're doing is talking about sports. You can't act the tough guy and with a straight face break down the Texans' defense. I'm never wrong. Number two, we care enough to work hard. I always say, take your work seriously, take your family seriously, do not take yourself seriously. Laugh at yourself, but work hard. There is a lot of sports talk radio out there that's lazy. Let's face it. It's easy to throw on a mic and start talking. A lot of people think they can do it. Few can do it well. There's a focus. There's a point. Every segment, even if it sounds like we don't have a point, there is a point there. It might be shrouded in ridiculousness, dietary boot camp suggestions, lounge singing. There might be heightened ridiculousness, but there is a point. We care enough to work hard at this.
C'est la vie.
Number three. We respect the listener. There is a reason we are here in mornings. Aside from Mraz thinking that he sells tickets.
Boy, you're not going to let this one go, huh?
Well, that was...
We're going to need to separate for the weekend.
That was a doozy.
Nuts? That's not sitting well in D.A.'s
head here today. No, that got real for a second there.
That was a doozy.
Yeah.
I sell tickets.
That was a glimpse.
Guess we are taking ourselves too seriously.
You certainly are. No, I sell tickets. Mraz's box office.
Well, I mean, the both controversial things you said in that segment, you immediately, oh, that's not what I meant. Well, then why did you say what you said? You said, because, I sell tickets.
Again, I'll let the DA finish his 2 points here for a second. But again, we all have learned, I don't think before I speak. And then when I do it, I get crushed for why'd you say it?
There is an element, though, of ego that has swollen on Mraz with this new time slot.
No, it is not.
We have all agreed on this. Bogus has brought this up, resentment burgeoning within the newsroom. And then you mandating that I call you a sidekick and now saying I sell tickets. Let's face it, there is a common theme here.
Yeah, and this morning too, Prancer on the newsroom letting everybody know who bought Donut Friday. I got Bogus. I'm sending Connor out for donuts. I got it this week. Don't worry about it. Walking, box in his arm, smiling.
What kind of drink did you get from Dunkin' Donuts?
I got a green tea. Healthy.
Yeah, ordering Connor to put 2 sugars in it. All sorts of bougie stuff.
Oh, you told Connor behind the scenes of the newsroom specifically what to do to your green tea?
Yeah, I don't like the liquid sugar because that's a little unhealthy. I said just 2 sugars, and he did it for me. He took care of it.
Yeah, Connor did mix it himself, and then he tasted it to make sure it was the correct amount of ice and sweet.
Again,
he knows where his bread is buttered these days.
And it wasn't, so he ordered it again.
Again, there is no ego here. You are calling Pete by a new title. I was just suggesting, based on a contract that you guys forced upon me, that maybe you should give me another title. That's all. And as far as the buying donuts, I'm sorry if I take care of people out there. I'm sorry.
Here we go.
You know, like, that's so criminal.
Here we go.
I am the producer / sidekick.
Okay, so let me get back on track because I just said we had a focus. We also respect the listener. We are not here without the D-aliens. We know this. I recognize this. This is my entire career. Aside from Mraz thinking that he actually sells tickets, from the moment that I started my show doing it in Fort Myers, Florida, working for $18,000 a year.
Iguanas falling everywhere.
That's exactly right. Without Mraz, shockingly, somehow the show was well-received. Well-received enough.
Again, we're doing this.
Enough. To
we get it. You called arena games.
To get to Kansas City. And then in Kansas City, nighttime listeners thought the show was good enough without Mraz to move to Morning Drive. From there to Miami. From there to Boston. 5 years in Boston of success on the most successful sports radio station, arguably in the country, 98.5, the Sports Hub, landed me here on overnights. Overnights on CBS Sports Radio, only to move through almost every one of the day parts here on CBS Sports Radio. Spin the wheel, the DA show has been in that day part. And every step of the way, the listeners were the ones that said, hey, this is a good show. We want this on this affiliate. Oh, this is a good show. We want this in a better day part. We like this show. And because of it, the show is about the D-Aliens. So these are the reasons why I think the show is worthy of you listening. And most of all, it's fun. Mornings are hard. Your radio show should not be hard. This is not going to be aggressive, political, socioeconomic, hard lava take type radio. We will have opinions on sports. We will have arguments on sports. It is not a hard listen. And I think that's an important part because who the hell wants a hard listen? So many sports talkers think it needs to be so hard and aggressive. It does not. It needs to be easy. These would be the reasons I would say come and play for our program.
Call your friends, folks.
Ho! Also, hey! Pete the Body Bilotti's drops were a pretty good spot, too.
I'll drop dead. I will drop dead without those burritos.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS.
Good morning, DA. How are you?
What is you? What is you at all?
Or if you need a slap in the face,
blah, 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 blah.
Oh, yeah.
Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack.
Buy me some what and Cracker Jack? What do I want to buy?
Can you buy that?
Yeah.
You can.
Some places.
Legally?
Probably not legally.
Okay.
Screw the Patriots. Screw everybody now that I think of it.
You but should be able to have a baby everywhere on Earth, top to bottom. And if you cannot achieve that, then you are a machine of death.
But I ain't doing too good.
Andrew Bogus is in with headlines. Good morning, Andrew.
Keep the main thing the main thing.
Good morning. Your headlines are sponsored by the NFL. The NFL app or the Yahoo Sports app is your key to watch the Super Bowl for free on your phone or tablet. Download them today at NFL.com/mobile or in your app store. Certain restrictions and data rates may apply. It is not exactly TJ Warren back in Phoenix, but still a much-anticipated NBA reunion last night.
He gets it to Kuru, stolen by Rondo. The Lakers have 3 seconds. Jared Dudley for three. Good! At the buzzer! And Dudley salutes the crowd as if to say, remember me?
Oh, they do. John Ireland, Lakers radio. Jared Dudley played 59 glorious games for the Nets last season. Last night, that three at the third quarter horn fueled a game-deciding run. LA a 128-113 win in Brooklyn. A small complaint from me. I saw that happen live on TV last night, heard that highlight this morning. Neither John Ireland nor Marv Albert called the ridiculous Rondo pass. If you didn't see it, he gets a loose ball. He, left-handed, he flings the ball 25 feet in the air, 30 feet down the floor, in stride to Dudley for that three. The pass was insane, and neither one of them caught it. And I don't know why that's bothering, but it is.
Well, there are some moments from Rajon Rondo that are brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, he still has those moments. There's just not a lot of them. But Rondo, for all of his kind of weird behavior on and off the floor, and now being a little bit of a mercenary at the end of his career, always being kind of sullen and moody, there's been moments where you're like, wow, that is one of the best point guards in basketball.
By the way, bad job by Sean and his Net fans last night. There were a lot of Laker fans in Barclays Center last night. A lot of noise for good Laker basketball.
Although I will say that Laker fans are kind of like Cowboys fans. They show up and act like they're always been a Laker fan, but they really only care when the Lakers are good.
Sure, I mean, that's another argument. But the fact is they got in the building last night.
Stop it. Stop it. Those are LeBron fans. There is not a chance. If that crowd was, let's say there was 9,000 Laker fans last night, 8,990 of them do not have NBA League Pass and are watching the Lakers every night. That's not a real Laker fan.
Okay, again, they can be front-running Laker fans, but they paid money instead of Net fans to be in the building last night for that game.
But
I mean, that's my problem.
To be fair, though, the Nets season has been far more underwhelming than the Lakers.
Well, of course.
If you're a Nets fan, you're like, why do I... You're only going there to see LeBron, basically, at this point.
That's true.
Even if you're a Nets fan.
Yeah, it's 12 of 14 losses now, six in a row. They're like 7 under .500. It's a free fall.
Woof.
LeBron, 27 points. He's now 17 behind Kobe for third all time. He will likely pass Bryant tomorrow in Philly, where Kobe's from. LeBron is also an all-star captain today, along with...
Mm-hmm. And Giannis Antetokounmpo is just a man. Dude, I got it now.
Under pressure dude, on TV, nails now. The first hit.
I got it now.
Was that Tiki's first crack at Antetokounmpo?
it's his first or his 17th. He still doesn't have it.
No, BT was applauding him because that was his first.
Yeah,
crack
that was
at
a couple
it.
Years ago, but. And they thought he got it right. And
so
he
this is a
didn't.
This is a day that you're just smearing everybody for not getting Giannis Antetokounmpo's pronunciation right.
We got two more to go.
So this is a theme today.
It's developing. Thank you for noticing.
Wow. So Bogus right now is just taking hacks.
I don't know if it's necessarily malicious.
Okay.
We're just having some fun with things I've got saved in a folder somewhere. Anthony Davis, James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, Luka Doncic, also voted starters from the West. Joel Embiid, Kemba Walker, Trae Young, and Pascal Siakam from the East. Reserves are revealed next Thursday. Then LeBron and Giannis pick their teams for the game in Chicago. Back on the floor, the Mavs outscore the Blazers in Portland 133-125. The teams combining for 43 threes. Tying the single-game record. Zion Williamson survived his NBA debut back on Wednesday. Head coach Alvin Gentry, after practice yesterday.
He's fine, really. Practice today and everything, so, there was no soreness, and he said he was fine.
Zion and the Pelicans play the Nuggets today. His minutes limit set this morning. Serena Williams remains without a major title since becoming a mom, stunned to a news of a third-round upset at the hands of 27th-seeded Wang Chung. Serena beat her in just 44 minutes at last year's U.S. Open. Today, Serena committed 56 unforced errors.
Last hour, sorry to interrupt, but you called the person that defeated Serena Williams Wang Chung.
Can I give it a little more...
Here it
correct.
Was Wang Chung. Okay. Now, that doesn't necessarily lead us directly into everybody Wang Chung tonight, if it's Wang Chung.
It's W-A-N-G Chung. If I didn't give the right emphasis this time, I apologize. But if you need something closer to Wang Chung than Wang Chung, then you are an unbelievable taskmaster.
I think you know I need something closer to Wang Chung.
We're off by like... A half of a beat on a syllable? That's not good enough for you? You want to find me an actual Wang Chung?
I'm just saying, if you say Wang Chung, it doesn't necessarily make you think of the song Everybody Wang
Chung. It doesn't. Wang Chung tonight.
Yeah, you're way off.
So, Wang Chung makes you think of Wang Chung?
Yes. Yes, it does. It's the same spelling. If you read it, you would say, if you read that tennis score, you would say, everybody's Wang Chunging tonight. You wouldn't be worried that it's Wang?
I don't think it's Wang Chunging, though.
Everybody Wang Chung tonight. Everybody Wang Chung tonight.
It sounds like a verb, so you can make it Wang Chunging.
Does Wang Chung sell tickets, though? That's what I need to know here.
Where were we? Oh, yeah, tennis. The good news for the American tennis side, teenager Coco Gauff, that's her name, knocked off last year's champ Naomi Osaka in straight sets. There are a lot of press conferences here in New York today. Eli Manning says goodbye to the Giants at 11 a.m. Eastern. Then the Mets say hello to another new manager, Luis Rojas, at 3. Our good buddy Mike Francesa weighing in on Eli's legacy with this majestic tweet, and I quote, three words capture the essence of Eli Manning. Class.
One.
Clutch.
Two.
And incredibly durable.
Three.
That's four.
Three.
Yeah. That's four words, Mikey.
Three.
These three words.
Class, clutch, and incredibly durable.
Three.
These three words. Class, clutch, two-time Super Bowl MVP.
Three.
Would be Hall of Famer.
The Padres three. Are reportedly
33.
The latest three. Team to speak with the Red Sox about trading for outfielder Mookie Betts. San Diego's package would be the contract of Will Myers and multiple high-end prospects. Betts is available because of his pending free agency next winter. Number 11, Michigan State took a 67-63 tumble at Indiana. Tiger Woods is three shots off the lead after round one at Torrey Pines. Tiger a 3-under-69 in his first round of 2020. And we save the best for last this week.
Yes.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
Quite frankly, this is the stuff of nightmares. I don't know if it's being shown now in video form or just a picture of watchda.com, but a mutant goat was born recently in India. Vets believe the goat is suffering from a congenital defect that has made it seem to have a human face.
No, it's terrifying.
I mean, it just is. Like, it's cross-eyed.
Oh,
its
God,
face
it's
is
terrifying.
Flat. There's no, like, snout or whatever.
Oh, God.
It's just a horrible, unfortunate-looking thing. But I guess the good news is, in India, animals born with defects like this end up being worshipped.
Oh, really?
Because they're seen as like an act of God.
Oh.
Now, I don't know why you would turn like the seeing the work of God and something that didn't turn out correctly.
Well, look, hey, tomato, tomato,
fair.
Glass half empty, glass
I'm
half
not
gonna full
worship
here.
Shame anybody here.
Yeah, you can't worship shame anybody. This is taking a negative and turning it into a positive. Take that frown, turn it upside down.
Goat, but the goat can't frown,
goat,
D.A.
Goat has a human face. Must be work of God.
It's just the poor thing, and I can't look at it anymore. It's the visual version of Jody's cough in my mind.
That's actually how that goat coughs. Do we have live audio of the goat in India that was born with the human face coughing? Because the sound that this goat must make, this goat, if I can describe it to you, has two really wide cartoon eyes. They're really big, wide goat eyes, and they're not on the sides of his head like a goat. They're in the front of the head. So they're looking straight ahead at you. Think about like Bert and Ernie, or specifically Bert. It's those two googly eyes looking straight at you. He doesn't really have a snout, as you said. It's a flat face. And so his big, long goat tongue is hanging out of the side of his mouth.
Yeah.
So he almost looks like an emoji or a sticker.
Right. Yeah, he looks like a confused goat.
He looks like a confused goat that was kind of punching the snout or something.
Yeah.
And so here we have live audio of the goat sneezing into the mouth of its owner. But wait a second. That goat needs to go outside for a smoke break. He just came back in. Uh-oh. That goat is out of Parliament Light. Oh, no, you know what? He just got a new pack. He broke it open again. Here's the goat who's got a little bit of black lung. That goat just tried to give the CBS Sports Radio phone number.
That goat drinks out of the same Wawa cup without ever actually washing it out.
The goat is terrifying. The goat is absolutely terrifying.
And I hope it's not, like, uncomfortable and pain, and, you know, there's no telling how long it will live as other health issues, but it's just, it is horrible looking. I feel terrible for it.
But really cool that they're honoring it as an act of God, because a lot of, you know, deformed animals would be discarded and shunned, and they're
bringing it parliaments as a sign of love and respect. They're just dropping cigarettes at the goat's ears.
That is your stunned to a news.
Stop.
It's pretty funny because I've become numb to how disgusting the Jody Mac montage is. I just hear it as humor now, but you are still really thinking about how disgusting black lung phlegm is.
And there is no exaggeration in my reaction. That noise cuts through my body like nothing else. It's disgusting. And it sounds like it should come from a deformed goat, but it comes from a human.
Three.
That third word, incredibly durable.
Three.
Adjectives don't count. Even if three nouns.
If I had three words to describe that goat, human-y, weird.
One, two.
Incredibly scary.
Three.
I just want Odell Beckham to present Jody Mack with goat-skinned cigarettes. That's what I want.
There were three words to describe that goat. Bizarre.
One.
Terrifying.
Two.
Looks like he probably smokes a carton a day and coughs like Jody Mack.
3.
And my third word is luckily embraced by the community, even though he's deformed.
3.
When we come back here on the show, your best audio of the day, including Andy Reid on how much pressure he feels going into the Super Bowl. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Our toll-free line, sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote, geico.com. That's easy. Here's Andy Reid on the pressure he feels to finally hoist the Vince Lombardi trophy.
Life's bigger than that. Now, that doesn't tell you I don't want to win. I don't want that to be, I mean, this is America, man. I'm in it to win. That's what we do. And that's how you're, so I don't want that to be slighted. But I also understand, I have a perspective of life. Maybe it's my age now, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to, you know, work hard and coach hard, do all those things, and I'm in swinging, so the best of my ability. But I'm not going to tell you that, there aren't other things in life. I understand that, too.
I think it's a pretty refreshing and candid answer. We expect these guys to kill themselves for our glory because it's supposed to be the shared glory. And we desperately need them to win. And so why wouldn't they also have that same desperation? But here's Andy Reid saying, I want to win, but there's more to life. And that is right now probably not what some Chiefs fans want to hear. That's probably going to be criticized at some point in time. But that's a pretty evolved way of thinking about this pressure. And I think that's the best way for Andy Reid to consider it. Because if he starts making this life or death, it's going to clam him up. It is going to make that offense less than it could be. You've got to play a certain looseness here, and I think that's an appropriate way for him to look at this challenge ahead of him. Last night, Zach Gelb here on CBS Sports Radio calls us a bunch of fat shamers.
And that did have me laughing up, but I believe in Mraz. I have confidence in Mraz. DA may sit there and maybe he'll fat shame Mraz. I'll be like Mark Jackson and Van Gundy last night. How dare they fat shame Zion Williamson? Bogish there. Mr. Bogish at the plate will step up to the plate and he'll try to eviscerate and fat shame Mraz. I will be there to help Sean Mraz. And then eventually, a year from now, Mraz will be on our show. I don't know how we're going to book him. Mikey B, you better line up in advance because he's going to be the next Rachel Ray in terms of the cookbook that Sean Mraz is going to come out to inspire people to lose weight, and he's going to be an inspiration for all of us. I heard Mraz saying, I'll have a cookie here or there. You got to cut out the cookies. That's very important. Maybe a cookie, two cookies, well, once a month. You can't be having a sleeve of Oreos, though, every fourth day because you need a little sugar intake, too.
Zach Gelb last night, he really spat that out. Fat shame Mraz. DA's got fat shame Mraz.
Maybe he'll fat shame Mraz.
Fat shame Mraz.
Fat shame Mraz.
Mark Jackson.
Mark Jackson, Jeff Van Gundy, fat shame Mraz.
Fat shame Mraz.
Our poll question today at CBS Sports Radio on Twitter is, are I and Andrew Bogish, are we guilty of fat shaming Mraz?
Fat shame Mraz.
You can vote on that at CBS Sports Radio on Twitter. It's an Ask the Pros Day where you, the listener, gets to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet at me, DA on CBS. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. If you are looking for a treasure trove, a boatload, a bread truck's worth of gifts of the DA show, the Wizard of WatchDA.com is unloading all of his videos right now on Twitter. They're amazing. You can go to CBS Sports Radio, the Twitter handle, vote in the web poll, and check out the gifts. Also, just search the hashtag DA Gifts, and you'll see them all. and you can use them and retweet them and save them and watch them, and they're all types of dandy. When we come back, Eli's playoff magic.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.